Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tolkinson and Rob Deering.
Greetings, Runkeeper Rose.
Just run over a small child straight away.
So it's running commentary. We're in Edinburgh. And if you've been listening, you join us having already run just under 5 miles, where we're going to go a complete different
way. Well, that was just a warm-up.
That was a warm-up.
We're just warming. That was just a leg loosener.
And the weather is still chilly and dark.
Yeah.
But it's not raining. Hasn't rained yet.
Hasn't rained as yet. No.
Yeah. We're running past the traditional Edinburgh Festival run of posters.
Through all the posters.
All these expensive,
Everyone gets a poster.
Everyone's got for their shots.
$10,000.
So, Edinburgh Map fans, we're starting by Summerhall at the top of Sheens and going out of town to the south towards the big university buildings down
there. Nice little location. It's where we've been staying during the festival itself, isn't it?
Yes, with the Deerings. Quite close proximity, the entire Deering family in Port Tonkinson in a pretty diddy flat.
But I've been the bloke on the sofa.
Yeah. And my daughter...
It's been good.
My daughter misheard us. Saying, we said, I think my wife said something about getting rid of the using a different chair.
Yeah.
Get rid of the this, you don't need the that stool, you need this chair. But my daughter misheard her saying, get rid of the bloke.
Yeah.
A lot easier if we just got rid of the bloke.
It has been a bit small, hasn't it? But it's been fine, though. They've been very.
I think we've done great.
Your kids have been amazing.
You've been a wonderful guest.
They've been great.
Yeah. No one's wandered in on anyone else trying to go to the toilet. Any
There's
of that?
None of that.
I've had that before. It's in Edinburgh. In fact, my first ever Edinburgh Festival, 1992. I was very hungover. Very hungover.
Really hungover, yeah.
Oh, close to death.
1992 hungover.
Yeah. You can picture that because I was in what at that time would not have been not yet been christened a onesie.
Right.
It was known as a baby girl. But it covered my entire body until I needed the toilet, at which point it sat around my ankles. So I was sitting a lot fatter in those days.
Yeah.
Not fit at all. Sitting with my head on the toilet roll, considering my existence.
Oh, mate.
And got so many sirens today. I'm worried. But my friend, Tom, I thought the door was locked as well, but the lock was not that strong. And he just yanked it open in dire need.
Oh, mate.
And he said, sorry.
Sorry, mate.
The funny thing about it was, the whole experience... Watch out, no, stop. Oh, I really thought you were going in front of that massive truck. That would have been the end of that.
Yeah.
It was...
Cheers, mate.
My hangover was like a force field. I was just too ill to care. So it was really just my friend Tom's...
Had to cope with it.
He just took that trauma on as a one-man thing. And still occasionally, when he looks at me, he just gets a faraway look. And then goes, no.
He starts shivering.
Yeah.
I think there's a low-level tension in Edinburgh during the festival about toilets. Because you've got loads of punters here who want the toilet.
Yeah.
You've got loads of performers who want the toilet.
Yeah.
And it's not built for the millions of people who are in it.
That's right.
So any toilet becomes like prime real estate.
Yeah, yeah. And you
start mapping out the toilets that you know you can get to.
You start to know where they are, don't you?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. A bit like running.
Yes. I had a bit of a... Well, I've been using the toilet in the parks as to respect the communal space, which I think is important when you're a visitor. Yeah.
In fact, now everyone in the family's doing it. We're all just toddling downstairs.
Who's been in there?
Like Victorians.
Oh, it's a bloke off the... bloke from the sofa.
Get rid of the bloke.
But yesterday, we had a lovely meal, which is basically rice and vegetables and really nice. I would describe it as quite windy.
It was windy.
Quite a windy meal.
Well, you didn't have the tofu, you had chicken.
Yeah. But for me, chicken can make me quite windy.
Fresh veg, brown rice.
Fresh veg, yeah.
There's a lot of fibre in there.
A real wind fest.
Spice. I mean, it wasn't just rice and vegetables, listeners. It was a stir fry. There was flavour.
So I'm in your flat in the front room.
Yeah.
And I don't want to stink it out. So the window was open. And I was quite gassy. Basically, I ended up farting out of the window.
Right, right, good.
A lot.
And were there any reviewers in?
No.
I think the audacity of this think piece.
Just the billowing.
It's basically, at its essence, a man is farting
out of a window.
Breaking wind through a window. Under such... throws a lens on Britain, particularly in these Brexit times.
The liberating vision of billowing pyjamas from the... third story window.
Four stars. 0-2-15 every night till August 11th.
Live at the Underbelly.
Brilliant.
But it was perfect.
Yes.
It's absolutely perfect.
Well, flatulence does seem to be a theme this Edinburgh, but maybe we can avoid making it a theme of this podcast. Let's see.
No, but it seems to be just a theme generally, doesn't it?
There is a magic to Edinburgh. I did arrive on a train, on an overnight train.
Yeah.
With my old mentor and friend, the drama teacher and leader of the youth theatre, Chris Walters.
Right.
He's a great guy. He was the quintessential kind of 80s drama teacher. You know, round glasses, the same colour as his shoes.
Like it. Nice little image, yeah.
But we got on great, and it was really nice when it shifted to being mates, you know, because he was the first person who got me into cryptic crosswords. And on that, we were just taking a play I'd directed that he'd written for the youth theatre, and we were coming up to scope out Edinburgh. But at first moment, at dawn, looking at the Caledonian Hotel up above Waverley Station, having not slept a wink, coming off the back of my A-levels.
Yeah.
You know, a spell was cast.
There's a magic to it.
As we can see, it's still covering my whole life.
There's an absolute magic to it.
When were you first here?
I first came here to have a look at the festival when I'd just started doing stand-up in London.
Yes.
And I didn't have anywhere to stay. Yeah. I actually slept rough. The first time I was here, rough! I actually slept in doorways.
You must have been the first person to do that here in Edinburgh.
Yeah, yeah. I felt very alone. And it was just that looking around for open mic spots. And it was just absolute magic.
And the funny thing
is, amazing
I bet
place.
The festival was kind of the same. And yet, if you were to look at it on a spreadsheet, it would have been kind of tiny compared to what it is now.
Yeah, the festival's massive now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mutated, crazy beast. Thousands of acts.
I remember being here in, well, it would have been 94. And we went to the Fringe office, thanks. Went to the Fringe office on the Royal Mall. And they had like quite a big bit of paper, but not that big.
Yeah.
And I kind of had a list of most of the shows that were on that evening. And we just picked one that was starting soon and went and saw it.
Yeah.
It was Omid Djalili.
Yeah.
You know, early
just
early
starting out. Just starting out, yeah.
Brilliant show that made me, you know, move towards getting into stand-up.
Yeah.
And you couldn't do that now.
A lot of people start here, don't they? It is a lot of people break through here, or even don't break through, but just find their form here, you know?
Yeah, it's like a grow bag, isn't it? It's like
yeah,
a big
it absolutely is, yeah.
And we're all the tomatoes coming up out of it.
And millions of punters come here.
Yeah.
Just invasion. It's amazing.
But the other thing is, what's nice is that you think we see it completely in terms of comedy and comedians. But sometimes you go around the corner, like Summer Hall there that we just ran away from.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. There's bars, there's cafes, there's a dozen venues with 60 shows a day.
Yeah.
Completely different community. Mime, theatre, folk music, no comedians.
Yeah.
No, different people.
Really, completely artsy. Yeah. There's so many different Edinburghs within Edinburgh.
That's right. There's all these little hubs, and each one's got... Some of them don't work.
Yeah.
You know, you think, oh, this is no good. The cafe's in a bad place, and no one's coming to these shows. Other ones are just these hidden gems. that you just think, wow, everyone here's having an amazing time. And there's crazy shows no one knows about, you know.
Really experimental stuff.
As it gets bigger, I think it's hard and more monetized, or at least people attempting to do that. It's harder and harder for word of mouth and, you know, things to get sleeper hits.
Build a bit of heat,
but
yeah.
I think it can still happen.
I think it can, but it's so saturated, isn't it?
Yeah.
And there's so many organs of review, so many papers to review, so many things you can get stars from.
I reviewed his organs. It really cast a lens on Britain.
Amazing organs.
After the referendum. 4 stars.
But it can get a bit just overwhelming, can't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Every poster's festooned with stars.
Yeah, and it's gone over a line. It's like in the wider world, the print versus internet.
Yeah.
What would once have been a 5-star review from the Scotsman. You look closer now and it's a 5-star review from blokeatthefringe.net.
Yes. Some guy on the second row.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Internet schminternet. I saw it myself. But it all
So
counts.
Where's the quality?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Journalism. So we're still on the road. We're climbing up out of town. But it's worth it. Also, it's slightly easier here. On the way back, we go to a more picturesque,
right,
shoppy Edinburgh.
Okay.
But there'll be people in our way.
Oh, really?
We'll have to barge.
Oh, what?
We'll be barging Scots. Left, right,
street performers.
Yeah. Well, we could do some flying while we're up
there.
Yeah,
that'd be great, yeah.
I mean, at our level, you know, that means that we've gone on the journey. We've come to Edinburgh, checked it out, come up and done shows.
Loads of shows.
Loads of shows. I mean, how many Edinburgh shows have you done?
I've done 7. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a peak of ambition. It's like a mountain range.
Yeah, yeah.
Of commitment.
And you want to.
And now I just like going on summer holidays.
Yeah, well, for us, it's very much to do with what you do with your children as they get old enough to be, you know, to really be at the heart
demanding of visitors, yeah, August. Demanding clients, yeah.
I think that, on the one hand, my kids are younger than yours, but on the other hand, I think that they really are. They've really embraced Edinburgh so far.
Yeah.
You know, and the festival. I think the first time I said, well, let's not go to Edinburgh this year. My son said, oh, you know, his face just fell. And he's like, not go to Edinburgh.
Yeah.
I've been to Edinburgh every year of my life.
Your kids are into the arts, aren't
they? They really are into the arts, exactly. So it looks like they might not necessarily be my excuse for not coming anymore.
Which is great, actually.
Yeah.
So you'll have to keep coming, which is great.
We're going past the university now, out of town to the south. One time I was running here, and I found myself playing chicken with a bunch of people, and right at the front as well of a 10K.
Right.
They were really coming up here fast. And I was trying to, in body language, say, hello, I'm running too. I really don't want to be in your way.
Yeah.
And they weren't buying it.
They weren't having it.
I was simply in their way. So I went out into the road and got myself just lightly run over so as to still have their respect. Is it psychological? Is it from what you said? I'm definitely working out when and where the next toilet is.
Maybe. I don't know, mate. See, I always plan, you see.
No, I have actually got one in mind.
Right, okay.
I was just building tension.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah,
little subplot.
It is a way ahead, though. We've got to run a couple of miles and over a hill before we get there. So, yeah, I might change the rules. So,
might have to sprint off. I had one the other day running around a park, trying to distract you from the drama.
Yeah.
Running around Clissold Park.
Yeah.
Just around the perimeter.
Yeah.
Bloke ahead of me, decent looking runner without being a maniac.
Yeah.
Old school shorts and vest, no socks.
Sounds like a just maniac to me.
Just the kind of guy I like, you know.
He wasn't your spirit guide.
Sorry, no, he just looked a decent.
So just then, there was a smartly dressed bald guy with a case, flapping coat. The car he got out of pulling away, managed to avoid both, and nearly trod on and kind of burst a dead bird in the gutter.
Nice.
Quite a bunch of challenge.
Edinburgh!
So it was a mythical runner slightly in front of you.
Nice fella, nice looking fella.
Yeah.
Balding, blonde, what hair he had left with a bit of a beard.
Yeah.
Kind of hipster.
Yeah, yeah.
Sort of 70s American athlete, you'd imagine.
Yeah, yeah. A little bit 118, but more blonde.
Yeah, a bit like that.
Yeah.
I'm about 50 yards behind him, doing a steady lick. Just sort of found my pace and that I'm enjoying.
Yeah, and the listeners know that means that Paul was cracking on pretty speedy.
Well, I'll probably be doing about 7.5 minute miling, which for me is fast to train at, really fast.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I don't tend to do that. He turned around, saw me, and noticeably accelerated.
Oh, I hate that.
But not just a bit. I mean, it was like he owed me money or something. I mean, it was proper. He just went for it.
Oh, that's tiresome.
It is tiresome, is it? So, of course, I had to go for it.
Well, because
you're in a chase.
Oh, I can't.
But it was crazy. It was crazy. It was just like, I thought he was joking at first.
Yeah, yeah.
It was.
Well, we've
so
talked about it. When you've got the formality of a race, I accept that part of that is racing with strangers. But without the, we're turning right here onto the Blackford.
Okay,
that's
good.
A romantic invitation,
yeah.
Isn't it? The Blackford Glen Road. But yeah, without the formality of a race, that's just, he's just behaving like you're in his life in a way that you aren't.
Yeah, yeah, it was weird. We're just going for a run, mate.
Yeah.
So, here we go. That's the right to get run over.
Oh, that's so good. So that Dunk's Doggy Daycare has got the ascent of man, and it goes, you know, ape, hominid, early man, woman,
yeah.
Dog.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Yeah, it's nice. And,
yeah, so he's running.
So then you've got the thing
maybe
of like,
he was scared of you.
Maybe he was.
Is that a possibility?
Maybe he did owe me money. And, but then you've got the thing of like, I'm obviously going to, it's obviously absurd. At some point, I'm going to catch up with him because my natural pace was quicker than him.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But you saw,
well, it's like that guy I told you about when I was doing my 18 on the canal.
Yeah.
And he kept overtaking me. But the thing about him was the only time he added the pace was to overtake me.
Crazy.
So he'd be immediately be in front of me and I'd need to overtake him again.
It's insane.
How many times are we going to do this?
So I thought, naturally, I'll overtake him. But he maintained his acceleration.
Yeah.
For quite a while. Yeah. So he's obviously quite a decent runner. So I find myself accelerating.
Yeah.
But whilst trying not to appear as if I was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So then you get caught in that kind of smooth it out kind of we're racing but pretending we're not racing thing.
Yeah, yeah.
It all got quite involved. Anyway, I beat him.
Of course you did. But how long did it take to beat him?
It honestly took about 600 metres.
And did it
nearly
leave
half a mile.
Did it leave you cross or did you ultimately enjoy it?
It was fine, but it left me quite tired. Yeah. But what I managed to do was style it out. And then it was naturally my last lap of it anyway.
Yeah.
So I could take a shout left and then right, then I'm out of eyesight.
Yeah, yeah, and you could just
land on the pavement. Yeah, just collapse. Yeah, in victory. But what a weird little episode.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because
I never do that. If someone's faster than me training, it's cool.
Well, you know, my very first steps into running at any pace other than my steady running pace were two things, both on the same spot, both in Clesel Park.
Right.
And one was when you said, we're out running before we start doing this. And you said, let's try a bit of fartlek.
Let's do some fartlek.
And you eased me into it. It was like, you know.
Yeah, a bit of speed.
We'll go slower for a bit. We'll go a little bit faster just for quite a long way.
Right.
So we'd already mixed it up a bit when he said, right now, fast as you can.
Right.
To the corner. You know, it's only about a quarter of a mile. But I didn't know. I had it in me. I didn't know there was any other gear.
Yeah.
So it was a real epiphany for me, just that day.
You were impressive that day. You were really strong, I remember it.
Well, you're a mirror to that, you see, because I just didn't really know I was fit.
Well, I wasn't that fit myself then, but you were, I thought, he's got a bit of strength. You were good, yeah.
But on exactly the same spot, another day, I did that, I overtook a guy.
Yeah.
And he was going really slow.
Right.
And so I came past him, like we're going past these people now.
Yeah.
Sorry. You know, and that's all well and good.
Yeah.
I just became aware that he was on my shoulder.
Wow.
He didn't overtake me.
Wow.
He imitated me.
Oh, no.
And, you know, when I got to him, he was like a lamppost. And then 30 yards later,
he's right there
with
you.
Is that my shadow?
Yeah.
No, it's this bloke. Oh, I was so annoyed.
Yeah, that's
annoying. And it really was.
That's just annoying.
Turn around and say something.
Yeah.
But what do you say?
Yeah, you're a
child.
Or
lose him.
You're an infant.
Yeah, yeah. So I really zoomed off.
Good for
but
you.
I was quite angry and paranoid, so I put a lot into it and then got to the top and thought, he's gonna catch me. Basically, the whole emotional experience.
Yeah.
The guy's long gone.
Yeah.
He probably never knew I was there in the first place.
No, he
but
probably
I'm
didn't
at the top of the hill thinking, he's gonna catch me up and have a row.
create these dramas.
Well, both of them showed me I had a bit of speed that I didn't know.
Yeah.
Look at this stream.
That's nice.
Look at Paul on the stream on my right. And then you got ponies and hills on my left. It's all pretty picturesque. And it's going to get more picturesque. This is Blackford Glen.
I like it already.
We're running east to west, south of Edinburgh City Centre, right. Just on the south side of the hill with the Royal Observatory.
Okay.
We're going to get off the roads into the country.
Fantastic.
Careful up here. Watch out for the nettles. The other day I got stung by a stinging nettle. But luckily, I immediately found a dock leaf.
Did you really?
Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
I did it. I did like the thing.
It. Like it.
Hi. Hey! So there. Dunk's doggy daycare got a shot of us there.
So they're taking photos of us.
Yeah.
What's that about? What's that about?
They're right? Taking photos of you, Paul. Hey, look, there's Paul Tonkinson and the other runner.
Bless him. He came in peace, that guy. He was
He's
so
not
into,
the only one.
He was so into the podcast, though, wasn't he?
Going to the park run with you is like that.
Oh,
because you're... You know, putting my massive ego to one side, it's fundamental. You're a runner, and I'm not. That's the, and it's that's what you know what I mean when I say that, because we're both runners.
Yeah,
we got time, we got pace, we can have the conversation. But that's what's interesting, because culturally, you're a runner, always have been part of the running community.
Yeah, I suppose so. Yeah,
You know, you're right in runner's world. I running next to you. You know, we're running brothers. I'm a kind
always,
of...
Always, mate.
If we didn't have this conversation, I would be among those people I'm always correcting. Like Zoe Lyons.
Yeah.
Like Lou from Late in Life. I'm not really a runner. Like Emily online, who's literally simultaneously saying, I'm not really a runner. I'm considering my
like
first 100 miles.
Yeah.
And that's the community I'm in. It's like, we don't run, but we do run. It's a funny place to be. And yet... Among comedian runners, I was thinking about this.
Yeah.
We don't talk about it much, do we? What, I think I'm one of the only comedian runners of our acquaintance who's actually got material about it.
Yeah. I suppose because you sense that not many... Look, there's an example. We've just let him go.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah.
We're recording the podcast now. Let it go. He didn't overtake us because we're us. He just went at the pace he's going.
Yeah.
Damn it.
No, but you're right. But you sense there's not many runners at gigs, though, don't
no,
you?
No, that's right. And when
that's a thing.
You've really... Exactly. When I talk about it, it feels... Well, A, I use it to talk very specifically about music and pop culture and being my age and stuff. It's not really about running. It's an in.
Yeah.
But B, it's autobiography. I tell them that to tell them something about me. And like you say, when I first started doing it, you say to the audience, so who here runs... And the answer is no one.
Yeah.
I haven't worked out to this day whether they're keeping their heads down or they're not there.
They're just not runners,
But I think to some extent, they're not there. Like you say, the kind of people who run.
Friday night, they're staying in for the park run the next day.
It's almost like they take the same space. You know, the hobby of running is equivalent to the hobby of going to stand up.
Yeah.
And it's you're unlikely to do both.
I nearly worked on some material once about those people... when they're out running, who keep jogging at the traffic lights.
Yeah.
As if they're going to sort of clam up or forget what running is in the time it takes to wait for the light, you know, those sort of...
Yeah.
That jogging to and fro thing. Or the end of marathons. There's got to be comedy in the contrast between the beginning and the end of marathons.
Yeah.
Some extended slapstick.
Well, that was the
sequence.
The thing of, you know, I used to have that comedy about that. Well, if you watch the marathon on TV, you just see joy.
Yeah.
And when you do it, you see the opposite.
You see pain.
Tears and pain.
Talking about blood. Talking about that, tell me about Yorkshire. Talk to me about the course so I can start to visualise what it's like.
Well, okay. You start... When I did it, we've got to get a room, actually.
Yeah.
I came out of a lovely hotel room, got a really early night.
Yeah.
No gig the night before.
I'm not going to do that now. How are we going to get up there? What do you want to do?
Let's get a train up on the Saturday.
Right.
And share a room like Morecambe and Wise.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're listening, major hotel chains.
Yeah, we can do that.
And then I picked up a shuttle bus from outside the station. And when I did it, it was a great atmosphere. It was like London. Of course, everyone getting on the buses.
Yeah.
Getting ready to run the marathon, so it's quite buzzy.
Great atmosphere.
We're going to go over this bridge over the river.
Right.
We'll be back here in a minute and we'll go straight on. Just going to get a shot. That's very picturesque.
Yeah.
Hey, look at this. Come run across the bridge and I'll get you running across. Paul Tonkinson running over the Braidburn. There he goes. Gorgeous. So, hey dog. So, but it was very cold.
Right.
Very misty. I could have done with a foil blanket, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, shuttle bus takes you up to university. Good scene up there.
Yeah.
At the start line.
Right.
Nice.
Good. Cheers. Thanks, mate.
I, we're climbing now. Proper climb.
Yeah.
Which do you prefer, the steps or the flat?
Probably
I
the
like
flat.
It when these steps end and you can just go up the hill like
yeah.
that. So, well done for asking me to tell a story just for this climb, by the way.
Don't feel you have to.
I'll
concentrate. Tell us when we get to the top.
So, out to university.
Yeah.
And it's a nice place. And a good start line. And then...
So how many people are we talking about?
That was the first one. So it was a lot smaller than London, I think,
right.
maybe. But I think there might be about 10,000 people doing it this year.
It's enough, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really good. And it's part of a big run series, so...
Yeah.
That's nice. And, You retrace that route. You run down the hill slightly and then left at the lights. And then the first couple of miles,
yeah,
you run right through the centre of York, past the Minster.
So loads of people.
Yeah, good support.
Tempting to go too quick.
Yep, oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
This is when it turned
all
out...
All plans.
I was running faster than the 2:59 crowd.
Yeah.
I stopped for a wee and then spent 10 miles trying to catch them up.
Right. And realise they were the wrong people.
So, now, I can't tell you that much about the next 20 miles. It's so foggy.
Right.
But you go out of town, through the villages, and it gets... It's pretty flat.
Good.
It gets nicely atmospheric. You see houses and churches here and there.
Support.
Hedgerows. Patches of support.
Right.
Know? Sweet support.
Good. Okay.
People sitting outside their houses... watching it all go past.
Like it.
And there's a good long bit out there where it's kind of wooded. And I got into a really good challenge with a guy trying to overtake me.
Right.
Which was fine.
Yeah.
Because you're doing a marathon.
Yeah.
So.
That sounds good.
Just me and him in the woods, it was like. Yeah, it was like the beginning of Silence of the Lambs. It was great. And then you get to up out there. I want to say right in the country, but again, it was probably next to a business park. I don't know, it's foggy.
Yeah.
But the half marathon clock is in the middle of nowhere. It's really satisfying.
Wow.
And very nice. And then you get to a point, not long after that, where you go down and you turn back on yourself.
Okay.
So you can see everyone in front of you going in the opposite direction. And that was a nice little first bit of climbing, wasn't it, there?
Yeah.
We're just climbing up past the golf course. And then...
So what's water stations and all that like? Is it well managed?
Yeah, they've got those.
Not and as many as London, as I'd imagine.
Particularly as you get into around 14, you got this there and back bit.
Right.
And if you're going all fast, like I mistakenly was, you see a lot of negative split guys.
Right.
Go hooning off. I mean, I don't know if it was because I was at the front or because there weren't that many runners. It was very easy to see what everyone was doing, you know?
Right.
To read the tactics. And then you're on a long... A big road. I think maybe it's the... I don't know what road it is. But you're running back towards... It
takes you back into York.
York. I think it might pass York to the south.
So
you run along that for about 6-7 miles.
Right.
And that's good. Lots of support.
Right.
Long... It's a bit like the Great North Run. There's like
into the belly of the beast.
A couple of long, almost imperceptible uphills.
Right.
And you're really feeling it because it's 15, 16, 17 miles.
Okay.
But yeah, lots of support up there. Water, gels, all that stuff.
Good.
And then you loop round again, and around 20 to 22,
yeah,
you're coming back on yourself. And it was interesting then, because I was watching people. I was watching a guy try not to pull up.
Right.
And that was good. He was faster than me, but couldn't keep running.
Because he was cramping or something.
Yeah, I overtook him because he was walking.
Right.
And they came running past me, and that happened a few more times.
Yeah.
And that was a nice little barometer to the fact that I was still going.
Very along useful. With a faint panic at that time that maybe you'll cramp up.
Exactly.
It's that kind of thing.
Oh, it's like superstition, isn't it?
You start monitoring your style, don't you? Am I relaxed? Is this...
Yeah.
Am I stressing in a
weird
way?
Oh, when you pull up,
Yeah.
When you see someone pull up, you want to touch wood, don't you?
Yeah.
So that's really the climb. And now we can see where we're in the kind of heathy top south of Edinburgh. And you can see
very nice
Arthur's Seat and then the Firth of Forth out to Berwick Law. And then back behind us, all the mountains of central Scotland. I think you can even see the Forth Bridge.
Gorgeous. Up here.
When we get to the peak here, we'll
have a little
get a photo and see how far we come.
So you're running back into
York. So around at 2022, you got to pull up. I think you see them on any marathon.
Yeah.
And then what's nice is it gets back off the main drag and comes back through the villages. So you're going past pubs and houses and things again.
Yeah.
And it's good. It's very, lots more new things to see. You know, so it really keeps you going. It feels like you're going half a mile at a time.
And it does it have...
And you can really just go, tick off these last 6 miles. And then you come into town, but you don't repeat yourself until right at the end you get to... Oh, stupid.
Does it have clocks? Does it have time marks?
Yeah, I think you can see all that stuff as you go. And then, did we get Arthur's Seat? Can you see Arthur's Seat? Where's Arthur's Seat? Where is it? There it is. Get it between us. There it is. Look. So, you got all your time markers and everything.
Right.
And just at the last, literally with half a mile to go.
Yeah.
You get to the traffic lights, you turn left at the beginning.
Right.
And you turn left again and go up the hill.
Nice.
To the end. Ooh. And that's the one. I know you guys online have said it is not hilly. And it's true, it's not much of a hill at all.
But it's because it's at the end. Because
it's at the end, because you can kind of almost see the clock. I mean, we're talking 2-3 minutes away from the finish line.
That's going to smart, yeah.
Yeah, and it's really good. It's that hill versus your
mentality.
Time you want to get in at.
Yeah, yeah.
So I really had that fight because I was going for 3:15 and I could see it on the clock. And feel it going, no! And it's that moment, that marathon moment.
Commitment,
Yeah, and when you think, on the one hand, I'm about to finish this. And on the other hand, you can't conceive of ever finishing it.
Yes.
Even when you're hundreds of yards from the line.
Yeah, it feels like, it reminds me of, I don't know if I mentioned this before, but when your wife has a kid.
Yeah.
I just think the closer it gets, you think it's just not going to happen.
Yep.
The closer it gets, the less likely you feel it's going to be a successful outcome.
Yeah.
It's the same with a marathon. You think, I'm never going to finish this.
It can't possibly
be real.
When
obviously just closing in on the finish. Yeah. And then the relief at the end, of course.
So,
amazing.
But the fog was a massive thing. So assuming that isn't the weather in October, it'll be interesting to see it a different way. I assume it'll have got bigger as well. But I think it'll be the same because it was really nicely run. So
right.
I think it'll be the same in terms of, I got a nice massage afterwards.
Yeah.
It's a good scene.
Good post
marathon
scene.
The university, because there's good spaces for everyone.
Right.
It's really good.
Do you think it's a potential PB course?
I think you can run in sub-3. I think you can.
Yeah.
It's just a question of whether you're going to.
Yeah, so it's a question of whether I can get the long runs in.
Yeah, well, you're on the way to that. Now is the time to do it.
Yeah.
That's you and Edinburgh as we run along. Look at you and Edinburgh.
Get my PB
face
on.
That's your character name, you and Edinburgh.
Get my focus. My sub-3 focus.
Yeah. Well, it's good for me if you go for a sub-3 because I'll have to avoid being too tempted to run with you.
Yeah.
So it's fine
margins,
let
isn't
him
it?
Go.
Because you can easily go for sub-3, fail, and then come in at 3:15.
Oh, yeah.
Easily.
Oh, yeah.
You just crack at 19 miles and just can't run.
But you're in a fairly rarefied place where a 3:15 is a disappointment.
Oh, no, but it's just that sort of falling away, isn't it?
Absolutely. Well, that's me in Berlin.
Yeah.
On for 3:15, coming at 3:32 or whatever it
is.
And like say you tell it to another person 2 months later, and like, it's amazing. Didn't feel amazing at the time. Okay, we're going to take a nice crazy downhill. Don't fall over.
Okay.
Honestly, we're going through this down the Howdene path, which is Harry Potterish in the extreme. There's Paul and his horse. And down we go. This is where I stumbled and got stung by a nettle. So watch out.
Right.
This is basically a hill, a little square. Up and down.
Yeah.
I factored into this run
right.
to make it long enough and have a hill in it.
Right.
But
it's nice.
It's nice. It's quite magical as well.
So do you think after York we should spend two nights? We should stay in a hotel, or do you think we should get the train?
I think we should get on the train.
Yeah.
Because it's so well connected.
Yeah.
If we can be home in 3 hours.
Yeah.
We'll be in King's Cross for tea.
Yeah.
And, you know, King's Cross is lovely these days.
Get King's Cross for tea time. Yeah.
You can go to the Plum and Spilt Milk.
That'll be great.
And have some artisan breads. Straight on. No, don't go down there. Don't go down there.
No.
Ow. No, going down the hill.
No way.
Down the steep, grassy hill opposite the Royal Observatory on the Black Hill. I want to say Black Hill. I don't know. It's over there. Got the hat. So this is going to be fun for our knees.
Lovely.
When I was running in Wales,
was it like this?
It was all country lanes.
Right.
So you had to be careful not to get run over. But there was only a car every 20 minutes, you know.
Yeah.
Or a tractor. But when I ran up this hill, it's like a long single track road that turned into a gravel track and ended up in a field with sheep, you know, sheep and wind turbines.
Right.
But the great thing was, it was such a long plod up, 2-3 songs, and then on the way back down, just absolute super speed.
Just leather it.
Running
down.
So fast, thinking, my legs are just going to let me down here. I'm going to trip over slightly and just go down the next 100 yards on my face. But I didn't, and it was wonderful.
Courageous sprinting down the hill.
Love it. I was listening, all music down there. Watch out.
Whoop.
Big hole in the ground.
Whoop, whoop.
Easy Alice in Wonderland. I'm late.
Oh, this is great.
Isn't it good? Get those knees going. You get a lot of dog walkers down here.
So how's your, chatting about knees, how's your general knee leg maintenance?
Maintenance is good. I'm doing all my stretching.
Yeah.
It's a bit like my raggedy voice, you know. It's that balance between knowing that it's not perfect and knowing that it can handle what you ask of it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
My voice sounds croaky, but I can sing Bohemian Rhapsody on it.
Right.
At 5 in the morning.
Yeah.
So that'll do me.
So that's fine, yeah.
And my left knee, you know, it sort of grumbles with pain all the time.
Yeah.
You know, listeners, Paul babysat for me and Julia last night. We went to the cinema. Get to the cinema after 50 minutes in the cinema, I've got to straighten my leg out, you know.
Right.
If there was someone in the row in front of me, I'd have had to put my left leg on his shoulder.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
My foot was a parrot.
Right.
Luckily there wasn't.
It started anywhere. Cramping sort of thing. It starts.
So it does that. It just does that. But it can run, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm just getting it up to speed.
Yeah.
Similarly, I do my chest exercises and everything. My old rib injury hurts. It just hurt. That's just, I don't mind.
That's it.
They're not stopping me doing what I'm doing.
That's it, yeah.
So physically, it doesn't sound great, but psychologically, it's...
It's okay.
Yeah, physically, nothing's
changed. It's doable, yeah.
Psychologically, I'm sorted. It's all balance. I do find, I really, all the philosophy of running in there.
The Murakami.
Yeah, and running up this long, long, long hill, listening to music, listening to songs. I was learning for this gig, so using the learning of the songs to make myself completely forget I was going up hills.
Right.
And then other kind of balancing things like being careful not to get run over by lorries whilst simultaneously looking for sweet wild strawberries in the hedgerow.
Right.
And that guy's on the way back down.
Yeah.
See, we saw him coming out of his house. He's not going far.
No.
He's definitely intervaling it. He's going...
Yeah, he's going quick.
Less distance, more pace.
Tempo.
Yeah.
So you read that one, the Murakami one, where he runs a 60-miler?
Yes.
To the end of running, sort of?
Yeah, absolutely.
And never wanted to run as far again?
Absolutely. He's such a clear-eyed writer.
Yeah.
I'm still not sure if I completely like him.
He doesn't try to be likable, does he?
No, exactly. That's kind
He's
of the
so
point.
Self-contained, isn't he? Yeah.
Yes, that's right. I know that he wouldn't mind me not liking
yeah.
him.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, because I can do nothing but respect him.
Yes, yeah.
But his writing is so forensic.
Yeah.
And it's great in terms of this spiritual factor.
Yeah.
Because he finds this balance. He finds out what it all means. But he makes no claim on the back of that to transcendence. He doesn't seem to have changed or cured anything.
He talks about his body becoming like a ball of pain and then being above his body. And just nice, really well. It's just great description about what it is to run really long distances.
Yeah. And the kind of trippiness of it, but with a kind of almost scientific eye on it. He said a couple of much more basic things that I really appreciated. And one thing was about weight gain.
Right.
He said, I've always found it easy to put on weight. If I don't watch it, I will put on weight, whereas my wife doesn't.
Right.
And in the end, I realised that that's a good thing, because it's made me make the effort.
Right.
You know, it's kind of forced him into having an attitude to food and exercise.
Yeah.
That someone with a more forgiving metabolism wouldn't have.
Wouldn't necessarily have to have,
and then
yeah.
would suddenly get old and come up against their own
their
physical
own
mortality.
You know? Yeah.
By the way, have you seen what's happened? We've run into the
this
woods.
This is beautiful.
This is the Braid Burn. Yeah. Once this lady's run past and get a picture of the stream, it's incredible. Really, it's an incredibly gorgeous place. There's a Hermitage of Braid, or the Braid Burn. And so many people.
I just want to dive into that.
Imagine all the comedians who don't know this is here.
Yeah. Stuck as they are in the quest for
in the
stars and reviews.
Yeah, yeah.
Numbers.
I do have to say, though, it's nice to come here with you. I sometimes get a bit grumpy up here. With
right.
dog walkers.
Right.
They will not smile back.
Really?
I can't understand people.
Slightly dour.
People will look you in the eye, and when you smile at them,
they won't smile.
Will look away.
Yeah.
I can't
It
relate.
Must be nerves, mustn't it? It must be fear.
I think part of it is not liking you because you're running.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I try and smile at most folk, but you're right. You probably get about half back.
Yeah, and it seems significantly less here sometimes because of the dog walking community. Look at that. My goodness. Strongly yeah. recommended. Hermitage of Braid is mentioned in the prime of Miss Jean Brodie.
Right.
It is gorgeous.
In the woods.
It's got that slightly...
Clicking away the miles.
Yeah.
Banking them. Bank.
Banking them up.
Bank.
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 Oh, that reminds me of The Weakest Link.
Yeah. yeah.
Which makes me happy.
Let's bank it.
£24,000 for Parkinson's UK.
That's great, mate.
Yeah.
Bank it.
Bank it.
Yeah.
So, I think this, I reckon they laid this out. It's very Victorian up here.
Just for us, yeah.
Very 19th century.
Oh,
but yeah, it's been very, lots of that. That's the basically, I'm trying to, it's such an obvious thing, but it's so hard to say in words. That's why Murakami is so good. Is that kind of, I think in terms of formalised religions.
Right.
It's closest to Buddhism.
I love
the,
it.
Recognition that, you know, the kind of the interconnectedness of everything, the energy, mortality,
right.
nature, your body and what it's for, recognizing it and feeling it all at once.
Yeah.
And realizing that that realization makes no difference.
Yeah. yeah. Because you're in it, sort of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw those wild strawberries in the hedgerow in Wales. It seemed so special. And it reminded me of this Goan, which I got from the book Curious Case of Sid Finch.
Right.
Have you ever read this book?
I've never read it, no.
Very 70s book.
Yeah.
It's about a preternaturally good baseball player.
Right.
Who gets discovered as an amateur. And he's just... I was looking at this waterfall, and yeah, and you spat in it, and it just made it.
Just, there's a tennis ball lodged in it as well.
Do you want to lean in to just so that you can
just
really...
Just the danger.
Don't fall. Beauty. The beauty of nature.
Beauty and the beast.
It's a proper canyon. If you can't see the pictures and you haven't been here and don't ever plan to come, you know, you go up the valley and it gets narrower and narrower until it's you and the waterfalls going between rocks. And then you get to this old building on the right, the Hermitage of Braid.
All right.
Braid is from the same root as Braid for your plats.
Ah, right.
So they call it the Braid Burn because it's like a plat of pools and waterfalls.
Braid the plats.
Dripping down out of the hills. Thank Ooh. You.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Ironically, since you mentioned no smiles, we've had one hello and then a really nice smile from him. Isn't
Everyone's been really nice,
isn't it?
yeah. So, no, that's an, look at that man.
Yeah,
he's
yeah.
with Paul Tonkinson.
A smile. But the difference...
This is a toilet, but I think I'll run on.
Okay, well, it's funny how sometimes you can run through the urge of needing the toilet.
No, I need the toilet.
Well, go.
I'm going to go.
Yeah, go.
Steve, can you put some really beautiful music on them?
Some kind
Whatever
of...
you do, don't put
don't.
A horrible flushing
Have fun.
Yeah, thanks.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we're back.
And we're back in the room.
There's some serious trouble with the ties on my shorts.
Right.
So if my shorts or my bum bag go down in the rest of this trip, that'll be a fun moment for all of us.
Getting slightly anxious about train times. Did it not be all right?
Let's have a look. I forgot about that. Yeah, your train. Yeah, that's fine. But we can step it up. We can book you a cab as soon as you get to the flat.
Okay, cool.
Or you can just sweat on the train.
Yeah. I should be fine.
Yeah, it's mainly, the plan hasn't changed. It's just you had a moment to think about it then.
Yeah.
And realised how audacious it was.
Well, so, what time is it now? What we are?
15:53.
Right.
And then we'll gone. I'll tell you how far we've gone. 1 second, getting to Runkeeper. This is lovely. Look at this touristy spot.
Yeah.
We came here with the family. When Julia was writing a book and Daisy had a broken arm, they paddled in the stream there.
Nice.
Not breaking stride, Paul, don't worry. So, I'll tell you how far we've got to get to our house. That's the full ski suit there. Somebody's really accepted the Scottish summer weather. You're not listening to me, you're waiting for this information, aren't you? We've got to go 2 and a bit miles.
Right, it should be all right.
So we'll be back at
we'll be back
at the flat in 15 minutes.
That's fine.
You've got 3/4 an hour to wrap it up and get to your train. Because, dear listener, Paul came up here for you.
I came up to Edinburgh to do some podcasts.
Yeah.
And it's been great.
Yeah, it's been really good.
It's been really good.
Unfortunately,
I've seen loads of shows.
We can't know whether there have been any of our perennial technical difficulties.
As yet.
Fingers crossed.
Because 30 seconds into the first record, the comic dropped the equipment.
Yeah, dropped the record on the ground.
Yeah.
Slam. Right, man.
So it could have rendered the rest of the week invalid.
That guy you just went to was great.
Yeah.
He was old.
Yeah.
I mean, superannuated. Yeah. 80, I'd say.
Yeah, he was great.
He was running, wasn't he? He was running. Coat and
running
trousers.
Running and waving. Yeah.
Running. But he had, like, pretend galoshes on.
Yeah.
Like, dress-up red Superman boots. When it comes down to it, I'm not sure we're not hallucinating.
When I did the Platfields Park run.
Yeah.
There was a woman in full sort of Indian, you know, the sort of ornate, all-in-one sort of silky Indian, I don't even know what the term for it is.
We're going to need one because we don't know what we've got nothing to picture here. What shape was it?
It was like a sort of,
look at this coming out of the braid little cafe. It was like a sort of,
it was like really sort of ornate tucked in pyjamas.
Yeah.
But sort of just sort of southern Indian, really ornate gold and silver bits and patterned silk.
So we're talking proper hippie yogic.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And she was wearing little sort of sandly things.
Oh, quickly.
She looked like she was at a tall dress for running.
Yeah.
And she was jogging around the lake repeatedly.
Right, so she wasn't doing a park run.
No, but she was She was out for a run.
Yeah.
In all her clothes.
Yeah.
There was no sense of athletic kit.
Yeah. Okay.
She was fully kind of. It was fab, and sort of eccentric in that.
Yeah, I was going to say, what did you approve
way.
Of this or disapprove?
I think it's fantastic.
Good, good.
I think it's great. Yeah.
Did you see the castle up in the distance ahead? That's beacon for us to head towards. I'm going to run in front of this car.
Right.
And intend to get a picture of it. Castle ahead. I found when we had children.
Yeah.
I used to use what was very fashionable then. A baby Bjorn baby carrier.
Right.
To carry them when they're very small, strapped to my front.
Right, yeah.
They'd mainly be kipping. It could support the head really well.
They're great, though. Yeah.
They're absolutely great. And at that point,
I just remember seeing women.
That's it.
Women love that.
I remember seeing a friend of ours, well, actually someone we only knew because she had a baby at the same time, so
right.
We'd see her in the park at the same time, go, oh!
Yeah.
And she had just a piece of material that you wrap around to make a papoose.
Right.
And I was like, at the time, it seemed like a really ancient grains ashram thing to do.
Yeah.
But the weird thing is, just to show the progress of fashion, is that now, that's what they've all
Everyone's
got.
Doing it, yeah.
Every single person has gone for a sheet you wrap around in a certain way.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
No one wants a baby Bjorn.
Back to basics, yeah.
Yeah, and yet, just from a scientific, let's go in the road. Oh, no, we can't. There's a car coming. It's going to get noisy.
Yeah.
This man's cutting the hedge. Up. He's cutting the hedge. Oh, thank you, sir. Cheers.
Cheers, man.
Oh, good man.
He's a good strimmer.
He might have thought when I shouted, he's cutting in the edge. I was going, stop cutting. I think he did.
Strimmer.
Strim on. No, strimming he's actually doing here to the lawn, isn't it? So he was trimming, not strimming. So, I don't know, it slightly goes against my sense of logic.
Right.
That we would move from the baby Bjorn to the carefully tied sheet. Only for the one person in 100 who doesn't tie it that carefully.
Yeah, doesn't know how to do it. Yeah.
And ends up dropping the baby down the toilet.
Yeah, yeah.
Ba-doink. Sorry, Jocasta.
So we're coming back into
civilization
now.
Yeah, I'm joining Edinburgh at Morningside, which is a good way to do it.
Right.
Morningside, because it's very... Morningside is like the Hampstead of Edinburgh, isn't it?
Is it?
This is where the shop was, where... Billy Connolly talked about the old ladies' dresses on mannequins in
right,
the window.
Yeah, yeah.
And with a little card that says, lovely on. But it's a really good scene up here. We're going to climb up past loads of interesting shops and stuff.
Like it, yeah.
I remember there being a great video shop up here. It might even still be here. It's one of those few ones left in Britain. You know. Read an article about video
shops, videos, yeah.
DVDs and VHSs. I find that Scotland, in my experience as a comedian, is less, is more sceptical about connectivity and digital culture.
Right.
It's a place where talking about Twitter on stage will get the least
warm response. Yeah.
And but then I'm also experience of going in places and thinking, okay, so it's all DVDs and videos here. But it could be because I'm just letting flats and things.
Yeah.
But I think it's a healthy separateness.
Fallout from, like, Calvinism and all that.
Exactly.
Kind of
I don't need this modern fussy stuff. And as such, I like it. I approve of that. There's a cinema up here. Really excellent old-fashioned cinema, the Dominion.
Right.
Which is happily still there. But when I lived here, I never went there because it only showed Braveheart.
Right. For years.
Yeah.
That was it.
That was it.
All it needed to show.
Yeah. I'm sure there were some angry guys who just sat and watched it every day. I didn't want to go and see it in case they caught a whiff of my accent, painted themselves blue, and ran me through with a sharp pole. Yeah. I've just, I didn't see it in time to get a picture, but we went past the tourist shop.
Yeah.
I saw some tartan boxer shorts.
Like it. Patriot.
And then around the white waistband, it said, with a BAW, Ball bags.
Classic
Scotland
customising.
I really love Edinburgh, and I did move up here after that first couple of festivals. I was up here and still not yet a comedian when I came to see you, I think, in 95.
All right, yeah.
And what I didn't realise at the time, I'm slightly more aware of now, probably since train spotting, is the antipathy genuine Edinburgh people have towards, you know,
English
tourists, the English
and the festival, yeah.
People in the festival. If you're all three,
yeah,
you're really widely despised.
That's a perfect storm.
I'm not really comfy with that.
Yeah,
I did notice when I lived here. I did have lots of friends of all kinds. A really nice community, and it spanned a lot of things. It spanned being a film fan.
Right.
I knew my first comedians.
Yeah.
I knew people who worked in theatre, people who worked in the cinemas, people who worked in the cafes and bars and things. I was getting pickup work in. And but the weird thing was, at the end of a year or two, all my closest friends were all, for want of a less incendiary word, immigrants.
Right.
They're all English or Australian.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had one. I did have Scottish mates, but we weren't going around each other's houses or phoning each other.
Isn't it funny that
I got one Scottish, proper Scottish friend from that time.
Isn't it bizarre?
Good on him. There's a separateness, but again, I get all the way past that, and I get it. It's a kind of, like you say, a Calvinist isolationism.
Yeah.
It's healthy. There's that cinema I was talking about, the Dominion. Still never been in there. Fantastic place.
That's nice, yeah.
We're not going to get a picture of it because the camera doesn't work. There it is. Just to the top. There's quite a fair old hill out of Morningside there as well.
We've done a few hills, yeah.
Yeah, got some ups and downs in.
Oh, it's right, that woman a ticket.
It's getting closer we get to town, the more of a computer game running along this pavement is going to be.
Yeah.
Coming out of Morningside into Bruntsfield. It's all very nice. What have you got to do when you get back? What's your running schedule this week?
Well, tomorrow I'm going to go for a run. And then on Saturday I go on holiday.
Oh,
I'm
going
to Croatia, setting off to Croatia. So okay. I'm actually secretly hoping to do loads of long runs in Croatia. But whether I will...
I was going to say, how do your family feel about you running when you're on holiday?
They're fine. I mean, the idea is to run in the mornings because it gets so hot there anyway.
Yeah.
But whether I'll do this is another thing.
Yeah.
There's always that notion. It's like packing for a different personality, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
You pack all the books that you think the person you're going to be on holiday will read.
Yes.
Only to find that you're not that person.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's the same with the running. I might get there and think, do you know what? I'll just get drunk for a week.
Yeah.
It's really up in
the air. Well, it's like the moment when you think, I said I wasn't going to drink. And then you say, well, now I'm here.
Yeah.
That just seems like the foolish most ridiculous thing to say.
Yeah. Why wouldn't I? It's meant to be a holiday.
I think also, in terms of running and holidays and relating to the family, you project onto them, you know?
Yeah.
I think when I go for a run on holiday with family, I feel really guilty. And it feels like I've squandered hours of high-quality parenting time.
Right.
And then I get back and they go, oh,
wait,
I didn't know you were going out. And actually, conversely... The most irritating bit is the stretching and the showering and that.
Right, when they
say, like, oh, good, you're back.
Yeah.
And then have to watch me smelling and waving myself around for 45 minutes before we can do
it. But you've also got family who are sort of want to be with you. My kids are older.
There is that.
So they're there with, like, my son's there with his girlfriend. My daughter's there with a boyfriend.
It's possible.
There's going to be the same pressure.
You may have trained your family to not want to be with you.
Age,
you might be complicit in that.
Age, mate.
Look, there's runners in that stained glass window.
Whee!
I said that and he just ran across the road. I think he was seeing a stained glass window. Stained glass window. Runners on the church there. It's because he wants to get his train. But you can't get run over. Woo. Here we go.
Here we go.
It was like the window of that church.
It had runners
in it. And it says on the church,
athletes.
Another day. Another dream dawning.
Like it.
I feel quite inspired. Like it. In a moment, by the way, we're going to get to Bruntsfield Links, you know, where we're running with the comedians the other way.
All right.
Down that long hill down.
Oh, okay.
I think we should pick it up a bit.
We can pick that up.
We can tootle down there to the finish.
Yeah, we can tootle.
I think that... let's say I'm running on
the holidays, running,
sweating,
kids,
people.
Scotting, swatting.
No idea. And you go off and run in Croatia. I got to run in the Lake District next week.
So again, hills.
Yep, hills.
Great.
Love it.
Great, yeah. I do like running in the heat as well. We've talked about this.
Yes.
So the idea of Croatia being hot, I love that.
Yeah.
I just love running in intense heat.
Yeah, I really miss running in Cyprus.
Yeah.
I think that it is... It's part, it makes you feel pure. I mean, it's,
it purifies you, doesn't it? If it
that Murakami thing is very hot, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's running Greece. It's a funny old thing is running Greece because it's very austere. It's very ascetic.
Yeah.
He's not doing an event. He's doing it for a magazine article.
Right.
So it's him and his support team.
He does a kind of... He does a, is that the ultra in Greece he does it?
No, he runs...
The Sparta Marathon or something, doesn't he?
Yeah, but... But the guy
the original who ran from course or something.
Marathon to Sparta, that was only 30 miles, wasn't it?
Right, I don't know.
Is he on there and back? I can't remember. But he's doing some ancient run.
Yeah.
And it is just him on a big kind of arterial road in the burning
really
sun.
Really hot, yeah.
He said it was really depressing. All the dead animals.
Yeah.
He's just finding himself counting flat dogs and cats. And just getting so... salty and sunburnt and, you know, and feeling totally unsupported. He's got a van saying, you know, in the spirit of full disclosure, there's a photographer in a van and they've got water and stuff.
Yeah.
But, excuse me, thank you. He doesn't feel spiritually supported by them.
Yeah.
Because they think he's stupid for doing it properly.
Right.
They kind of expected him to fake it up a little bit.
Yeah.
He's like, well, why would I do that? I came to Greece to do it.
Yeah.
But he's like, yeah, but a bit like people sort of cheating on, you know, shortcuts left, right, here, sorry, right. I wasn't fine enough in front of the time to see my fingers, so I just barged him. Closed. No, we're doing it. Closed, schmozed. So... Yeah, he didn't even feel like they were involved in this thing.
Yeah, just him.
Solitude and distance and hot right. beating sun.
Great.
And it is, you get to that point where the non-runner can't really see what the hell
what the
point is.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Or more specifically, where the joy is in that.
Yeah, yeah.
But there is some somewhere, isn't there?
The joy in the struggle. So that we just cut across here to...
This is it. We're at the top of Bruntsfield Links,
right.
You know, which is the golf course
right.
at the west end of the meadows.
You see.
And we are not the first people to cut these corners.
Yeah. Yeah.
We've slammed these barriers out of the way. It's very cool. It's the Holts. Hello.
Hi.
It's Kat and Colin Holt and their family. That's Kat who I saw the other day, remember? He must be staying here because...
So he's doing a show, isn't he?
Yeah, I've heard really good things about it. That's... gorgeous, isn't it? From this point, the meadows themselves are gorgeous, and this end is slightly elevated, so you get a great view across the castle, kind of almost floating above the city. This foreground of this massive, scary church in Bruntsfield, and then on the right hand end, there's like the wallpaper of Salisbury Crags, red rock.
And then there's I went to the Victor Hugo Deli earlier for a coffee.
Yeah.
The right hand side, that was nice. So many nice cafes and stuff in Edinburgh.
Absolutely.
Little delis.
Yeah. And what's nice is, when you order in there, 9 times out of 10 they will treat you like you're an idiot.
Yeah, yeah.
It's good to be brought back down to earth.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We're in the cycle lane bit here, so.
Oh yeah, be careful.
Just beware future tips.
Cycle lane.
I like to run right down the middle, actually.
On the white line.
Avoid the bikes. Avoid the people. And avoid the knee-aching camber. I told him we were going to go a bit quicker, and he's really taking it to heart.
I'm having trouble keeping it's a nice up. Little rolling downhill, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's not steep enough to get into that. I'm going to
fall
over.
No, it's beautiful, actually.
That kind of 11-year-old.
It's really nice, yeah.
I remember sledging
and like, I don't know, falling over and thinking, oh, just run the rest of the way down. And then you're running and skidding and just doing everything to stay on your feet.
Too fast, no brakes.
And the easier thing would be to just fall over, but instead you manage to stay up against all the odds. It's this a lot nice. Like life.
If you had a marathon like this, you'd do all right. Although it would hurt your quads after a while, wouldn't it?
I do think that's why they should run the Great North Run the other way around. So you gently climbs up there.
I've never done the Great North. Have you done it?
Yeah.
Right.
You start on the north of the Tyne.
Yeah.
And you run straight down the hill and up again.
Right.
And then you go out to like this big ring road type road.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's get across here. And you kind of gently climb up.
Yeah.
For 10 miles.
Wow.
And then drop down.
That's hard.
And a really nice steep climb down.
Yeah.
But like you say, it's a bit late, so it hits the quads quite hard. And also, it's just a bit too far from the finish. So you take the sprint off it and you go, yeah, here I come.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Just a bit further. Yeah.
I can't do it.
And then you end up in South Shields, which is gorgeous, but hard to get home from.
Yeah.
And I always wonder. Well, I think I know. It's because of when it's easier to close roads and stuff. But I really think they should run it the other way around.
Do it the other way, yeah.
Yeah.
He's but got a rep as a fast course, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's because it's a big, fast flat, straight rope. It's really great. It's that thing, runs that have got a cachet, have a good atmosphere. You know, because people know the run, like almost as a character.
Right.
Plus, in Tyneside, the Great North Run is the run.
Yeah.
You know, like the people running it are often only loosely cognizant of the fact that it's a half marathon.
They're just doing the run.
They don't care if it's a half marathon or a marathon. It's the Great North Run.
Yeah.
And there'll be people up there who've never run, but they've done the Great North Run.
Yeah.
It's just a really good local ownership.
It looks
incredible,
yeah. It looks great.
So what's your... Okay, I've got two questions for you.
Go on then.
You're running High Point in Edinburgh this week.
Right.
What was it?
Probably this bit, actually.
Yeah.
Nice and fast and flat. Cool down to the finish.
Yeah,
just been nice zipping around the meadows, you know.
Lovely.
It's been really nice, hasn't it? The whole thing's been great.
And what about comedy and comedians?
So many. Probably moments of Bill Burr.
Yep.
Were fantastic. Spencer Jones, Sean Walsh. Just great. Just fun to be goofing with them.
Yeah.
Just hanging out.
I saw the Cagoules.
Yeah.
With the family.
Right.
It was great for the kids. But I don't want to do the Cagoules down because it was great for everyone.
Yeah.
It wasn't pitched low. It's just that it's a clown show rather than a stand-up show, you know?
Yeah.
And just joyous. Any good clown comedy, you see
it's
their
great.
Pleasure.
Yeah.
And you take part in it, you know?
Yeah.
Sheer communal joy.
It's not confined by age, is it, a good clown?
No, absolutely. And much more difficult than people think because of that.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of pantomimey, Morecambe and Wise's quality where you can make anyone laugh. It's a real
tricky
skill.
Difficult to get.
So, yeah, we're coming in final straight back to the corner opposite Summer Hall. And look at that, it's nice, isn't it?
Fair lick.
Yeah, we're pacing.
End of a 12er.
Yeah, I hope so. Check
which
that
is
out.
Nice, good feeling to have.
I think actually we should tell you listeners that this psychologically breaking it down works for us too, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I keep having to remind myself that we ran 5 miles just before
this run. We did
five
already, yeah.
Because it was a different run. So, right, this last 50 yards, just listen to us puff.
Bum, 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 bum.
Back to those posters. I took that picture off and we'll finish there. This is not culturally significant, says this poster. Hey, let's get me and you in front of this. This is not culturally significant. So we have run.
Brilliant.
I will tell
good
you.
Fun.
Yeah, we did deserve a clap. We have run 7.17 miles. Exactly. Cool. 12 altogether with our 4.8.
Brilliant.
Listen in. Speak to you soon. Run Compod, Twitter, and Instagram,
Facebook.
We love hearing your feedback, so get back to us. Oh, last thing.
come to the podcast festival coming up now by the time this comes out.
Right.
24th of September, King's Place. Run with us. And then see us afterwards.
Performance. Post-run performance.
It's going to be great.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
With Paul Tomkinson and Rob Deering.